September 11th, 2018, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
You all set again?
Yep.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a regular town board meeting, Monroe Town Board, for September 11th, 2018. And with that, I'll entertain a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. And I'd ask everyone to please stand for a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we begin this evening, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in observation of 9/11, which occurred 17 years ago today. As everybody's well aware, nearly 3,000 individuals lost their lives, and folks continue to lose their lives today, those that responded and were actively involved in the search and what was hoped to be rescue at Ground Zero, and have significant health concerns after the fact. And it also spurred a lot of our residents of our country to enlist in the armed services and the war on terror. They continue to lose their lives today. So with that, I'll ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. First item of business this evening is approval of minutes. We have August 21st, 2018 Town Board Workshop, and we also have August 28th, 2018, which is the audit and regular Town Board meeting for August. Anybody have any comments, corrections?
No, that's one. I thought they were okay.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Actually, do you want to take them separately? I know we had a board member.
I was not present at the workshop.
Okay, so okay. We'll take them separately. August 21st.
Motion to approve regular town board meeting August 21st, 2018.
Seconded.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Same.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes.
Motion to approve August 28, 2018, audit meeting and regular town board meeting.
Seconded.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. Thank you. Next item is to set future meetings and workshops. Town board members should receive a copy of the schedule that Circle of Economic Prosperity is looking to have approved by the town board. The first date that Marty has on there is for September 25th at either 5:45 or 6 p.m. The next date he's requesting is October 9th, 2018, either 6 or 6:15. And finally, 6 p.m. on October 30th. 2018, and I'm looking for comments or directions from the board on what works or doesn't work for them.
It won't work for me.
Well, it works. My comment, and I'll bring it up, I brought to you earlier, but to change our end-of-month audit meeting from the 23rd to the 30th, as well as our regular town board meeting, and have it all on the one night of the 30th.
We can do that. My suggestion would be probably on that evening to start the audit meeting either at 5 or 5:30 and then roll into Marty's meeting, and then do the regular town board meeting at 7.
Okay, 5:30.
5:30?
Okay. Is it 2 or 3 then?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Will that work? How about the times? When I go with 5:45, 6 on the two dates? 5:45 on 9:25 or 6? They're all those seasons.
I'm good with either.
And is there a preference?
September 25th is our month end audit meeting, right?
Yes.
So it's 6:30. Will we have enough time to. Marty Peary's got two if he started at 6.
There
should be.
We can move the audit meeting a little early that day as well. Start at 5:30 on the 25th.
Okay.
So we'll do on 9/25th, we will do the audit meeting for 5:30 and SCPP meeting for 6 p.m. And then on October 9th, we will do it at 6 p.m. And on October 30th, we'll do audit at 5:30, this meeting with Marty at 6, and a regular town board meeting at 7.
Okay.
And I'd also like to set a water committee, actually a water workshop. Jesse had brought to the board's attention, and we have discussed it here publicly regarding tap fees for new water users, and he has some concerns that in particular instances the cost of the tap may exceed factor in labor, the size of the tap, what we currently allow, so we should have a workshop on that. Maybe come up with a number, see if it needs to be adjusted, and then it's something we can adopt at a later board meeting. So I'm open any time for that, so I'll leave it to the board for when they'd like to schedule that.
Prefer evening?
Yeah, probably evening would be good, 6 o'clock.
Is there a date we need to do? I can see us probably having a...
Do you have any other dates in mind?
Why don't we...
If we go before the next meeting, in case we have to pick and match from the time.
Okay, we can do...
I'm pretty flexible.
How about you, where you come in? 5:30. Oh, you said it's weekend at the meeting.
I was suggesting that we have a meeting sometime prior to the next meeting.
Oh, probably.
So in case we have a reason to take action, so.
There's a planning board meeting on Monday, but I believe the rest of the week is open. And we don't have to have it in here. We can do it in there.
Tuesday the 18th at 6. Corey put me out at work. I'm flexible.
I'm on the table that day to open up my chat.
Oh, okay. You want to do Wednesday?
Sure.
What's good for you? Wednesday, 6 p.m.?
5:30, 6, anything like that works for me?
I should be able to make it.
Not do a swimming.
What?
You said 5 or 5:30.
I can do anything 5 or after.
Mm-hmm. The time is good for you, Tom.
Yeah. 5:30, 10.
All right, well, I'll do it for 5:30 on Wednesday, the 19th. It'll be a water workshop. And then the last item, I don't know if we're ready to schedule. Carla, I know you're going to review mobile home permits or our inspections for that. Yeah, I know you probably haven't.
Well, I looked through it, but I haven't put together the memo for the board yet.
So you need a little bit more time on that.
Yeah, if we could do it, you mean just to set a public hearing to change the law?
Well, I think we need to do a workshop. Or we could combine them together on that same night.
No, I would do a workshop first and then hear from people and then we could do a public hearing. We could set a public hearing that night and then have a public hearing with you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, but I was thinking we could do the workshop if the board wanted the same evening we talked about a lot.
Yeah.
I can't be there that night. The 19th, next Wednesday, I won't be present.
I don't think that. Well, if you're going to do a memo to the board, I think we need to
be there. Okay, fair enough.
Does that work?
I'm ready.
So we will do it. How much time do you think in the
5 minutes, half an hour.
So we'll do 6 p.m. work for the mobile home permit workshop.
Mm-hmm.
All right, same date.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If we're here, it works better.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other meetings or workshops or schedule? If not, we'll go on to item number 3 on the agenda. I received a call from GAR Associates, and actually have met with them regarding a proposal for the town. in relation to some services that may be helpful to the town, and my suggestion was that the firm come to the town board meeting and make a 5 or 10 minute presentation on what they may be able to offer to us. And with that, I'm going to turn over to David Barnett, the Vice President and Project Director for Carr Associates, LLC.
I just want to thank the board for the opportunity to speak tonight. And what I'd like to do is just kind of give you a little bit of a background of our company. And I guess in this case, reintroduce myself. We performed the reassessment project in 2010. A little bit of a background in about our company. We've been in business for about 60 years, done work in various capacities in multiple municipalities in Saratoga County. I'm obviously the town of Monroe in 2010, but we've worked in the town of Waterford, the city of Mechanicville, the town of Malta. And the proposal, I'll assume everybody has a copy of this, is really just a maintenance agreement. Typically, whenever we do a reassessment project, and in this case in 2010, but in any municipality, when we do a reassessment project, we usually sign on for a maintenance agreement. It's really twofold. Number one, you protect the original investment of the reassessment project, but the goal of any reassessment project anywhere is to create fair and equitable assessments. And that was accomplished and successful in 2010. You certified your role at 100%, and you've been able to maintain that. Really, and that's a testament to your current assessment office, but you know, to maintain your assessments at 100% and the inherent benefits in terms of exemption dollar amounts, sales tax revenue sharing within the county. There are multiple benefits of carrying your values at 100%. Most importantly, as a resident, you know that you're paying your fair share of the property taxes and you're not carrying anybody else's tax burden. With this agreement, what it would be is essentially updating some of the work that we did in 2010. It's been a number of years. There's some components of the New York State RPS V4 state-run database system that we would update. Some statistical analysis, assisting with, you know, permits and with some of the developments here in the town currently and the eventuality of some commercial growth. I think a good example would be your neighbors to the south in the town of Malta. We did a reassessment project in 08. We've been contracted every year since 08 in one form or fashion. They've done, actually at this point, two additional townwide updates. But as soon as, you know, Global Foundries put a shovel in the ground, there was increased, I've been to Malta recently, but there's increased commercial development as well as market appreciation with residential and additional residential market development, new subdivisions and really sales prices and market appreciation. So I think that would really be the goal of this agreement, is to update some of the information that's currently in your assessment office, whether it be inventory or some valuation components, and really prepare the town for any commercial development. These commercial values can be complex, complicated. You know, the town, you as the town board and the residents want to know that you're able to defend these values should they go to tax certiorari. You also want to know that while it's been 8 years, that you're maintaining the investment, that assessments are relative of what's occurring in the market, and really keeping with that theme that assessments are fair and equitable. This would be prudent for any municipality anywhere, just to maintain their assessments and really update the assessment office per se. So with that, I've just kind of pretty much outlines some of the services I mentioned before, statistical analysis, updating some of the valuation components, You know, we have a high level of expertise, a couple offices, one in Clifton Park, one out in Buffalo, about 45 employees. So our expertise along with the bench strength, we feel that we can not only assist your assessment office, but ultimately provide a service to the town residents.
Thanks, David. So the terms for appointed assessors across New York State will expire at the end of October of 2019, I believe, and I thought it was important that the board, especially at budget time this year, was aware of any additional options that may be available to the town, and so I appreciate David making a presentation this evening. I know we will discuss this further as we put the town's budget together in the upcoming weeks, but at this time I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you may have for David.
David, could you just, thank you for coming, could you just explain to me, for educational for my benefit, you know, how a town like the town of Monroe would benefit in any kind of cost savings, you know, with employing an organization? I mean, does it allow us to have reduced staff, or is this all augmented service above and beyond? I apologize for not knowing the model that well.
Well, I think the first step is to update some of the components that exist currently, you know, on your database. I think it would certainly make the assessment office run more efficiently. So there would be some potential cost savings from in that regard. You know, I think going forward, as the supervisor mentioned, you know, 2019 is a reappointment. So there will be some decisions that will be made one way or another. But I think by us coming in with this update agreement, with the eventuality of that October 19 deadline sort of looming, it would allow us to prepare for that. Really just updating the information and getting in a position where, while we do have some familiarity, because we've worked with the town in the past and we've worked with the assessor and the assessment office, it would just allow us to kind of prepare for that. And I think that part of that would be some cost benefit, you know, once that comes down the road. It's hard to have a crystal ball and to know exactly that dollar amount. But I think it's just prudent for any municipality just to prepare for that. And you're not alone, because that's a state deadline. You know, everybody's up in 19, real property directors as well as assessors locally.
My question has to do with, as GAR associates, would we contract with your company to basically replace our town assessor? When you're talking about this deadline,
yeah,
is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I think this agreement is really structured to update as a maintenance, as a maintenance agreement.
Okay.
I think this isn't, because it's just too many unknowns at this point in terms of your current assessor. But this would be more of an updating the information from 2010. This wouldn't be, you know, you have an assessor in place. There's certain statutory requirements, mm-hmm, where an assessor needs to be in place.
Okay.
GAR associates can't, at this point, become the assessor.
Okay.
Or
I was wondering.
Yeah, or is this, you know, any way, shape, or form wanting to become the assessor?
Okay.
It's just more of doing things on a yearly basis or on an annual basis that maintains the equity within your assessment.
Basically helping our assessor do their job.
Assisting, yeah. And, as I mentioned, the eventuality of some complicated values coming down the pipe in terms of the Route 9 corridor and increased development and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a question, too. So then this would help us then as well with some of the, you know, just like other towns, we take some oppositions to our assessments, you know, not sure courts are trying to go that way. I guess with data backed by your company, that puts us in a little bit better favorable position, I guess, to defend our assessments and things like that. So that potential is there.
Yeah, and that would be really part of the first part of our statistical analysis. I mean, what the statistical analysis does identifies any potential inequities, you know, and there may or may not be. You know, unfortunately, anybody can file. Right? You know, anybody can challenge their assessment. From a municipality standpoint, you want to know that you're able to defend those.
Right.
So this, if you're doing a systematic analysis, you can make those adjustments. And if the adjustments are appropriate and warranted with market conditions, the thought is that as you go into any sort of court proceeding or challenging situation, you're able to defend those numbers.
Yeah, great, thank you. And then if we have this maintenance schedule in effect, could that assessor role after 2019, could we, I mean, we would have to do a position, but could it be almost more of a part-time position than what we have as a full-time position if we have someone maintaining more of the statistics for us?
I mean, that would be a town board decision at that point. I mean, I will say that, you know, in doing, in working in various municipalities across New York State, it certainly makes we try to make the assessor's job easier,
right,
in terms of updating information and providing the tools. But that would be certainly a town board decision.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, item 4, is the highway garage roof. I have spoken with Don Rose. He's 90% complete in putting together his recommendation of what the town should be considering. He did indicate that we may want to add a look at our HVAC system down there because of the condensation, lack of ventilation, and I believe that we have a problem with the furnace down there now.
The boiler.
Or the boiler. And he's willing to do that. But we also, as the board had requested and acted upon, reached out to an additional engineering firm, which would be willing to look at the new highway garage proposal and review what may need to be done on the old highway garage. And I said that I would bring that to the board's attention this evening and look for direction to see if the board would like the firm of Barton, the Judith Che, to move forward with their offer of $4,000 to basically look over the work down there so that everybody, we have confidence in what needs to be addressed and how we should address it. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on it. I want to have a discussion this evening. Your options are to discuss it further, table it, or take action. So I'm looking for your thoughts.
How close are we to having Don?
So, because Don's firm was involved with the sewer district creation, you know, he suggested he had a couple more weeks before he'd be ready to present something to the board for its review. So, I'd say 2 to 3 weeks.
Is that a revision or an update to what they've already presented? We have to engage them to give us some preliminary.
Right, but we haven't received that. So it's basically to complete that. And if we want him to look at it, we need to see it.
I don't have with me tonight the proposal from Don's book, but I know we have something to compare to myself.
Okay.
I'm thankful that we have this and we have another option to look at.
Right.
I know I don't have the other one yet. I personally like to compare.
Right, and both engineering firms are engineers for the town.
Correct.
As approved by the board this year. So I will let them know that the town would like more time, and if we have a proposal from LaBerge prior to the next meeting, maybe we'll take action.
Yeah, okay. I would be prepared to not push it past next meeting.
Okay. All right. We will do that.
I would concur.
And along those lines, kind of got glossed over at the last meeting because it happened just as the meeting was about to start. But back in May, I had reached out to Senator Marchand requesting assistance with the repair of our town highway, our new town highway garage roof. And she has committed to assisting us with $200,000 toward that cost. It's a SAM grant, which is a state aid and municipalities funding program. And my experience with that is that it's a lengthy process for the approval. We're probably looking at 16 to 22 months before a contract is issued on it. But we have turned around the paperwork. We did it the next day after the last board meeting. We have submitted it to the senator, and hopefully it's winding its way through the approval process. So once again, I want to thank the senator for working to assist our community in a need that would put a huge drain on the town's budget if we had to put the entire building. And also with that, the town received back, I don't have a date, yeah, I do have a date, back in January, a proposal from General Roofing, Michael Dawson, in the amount of $141,000 for a TPO layover. But there are concerns. I think Paul mentioned that he would be concerned about the snow load, because the snow would not be sliding off the building if you want that repair room. And also, there wouldn't be a warranty, I believe, under that proposal, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a warranty, but it was for lengthy time.
Okay. So, I don't know if the board, obviously, you should take into consideration before we move forward with what we want to do there. And so I'll predicate on what the engineering recommendations are. So just want to make sure the board doesn't lose sight of that.
Does Don know about this company that's proposed that?
He's aware that we had a proposal. He didn't comment on the company.
Okay.
That's good news on the senator. I know you announced that before, but thank you for your efforts on that.
Thank you.
That's a long process. Can I ask a quick question about it?
Yes.
Is that a reimbursable?
It is.
So we can still move forward with it?
We can move forward with it. We cannot complete the project prior to being under contract. If we do, then we will not receive a dollar. And because it is reimbursable, we have to budget for it, pay for it, and submit the receipt to the state and enable reimbursement. So it's you have to be careful with managing. Next item on the agenda is item 5, which I have listed as code enforcement officer. The board at a previous meeting had expressed interest in possibly hiring a code enforcement officer to work probably part-time for the town. And Jeffrey has worked with Jim Martin to come up with a job description. And I guess I'm looking for a direction from the board to see if you'd like this to be something that we post, or if you want to think about it a little bit more as we go through the budget process. I think you've seen all the financials from Jeffrey on whether or not it was something we could do this year. And it looks like we could bring on a part-time code enforcement officer if we wanted to and still be within budget. But again, I think it's probably something we want to include as part of the budget discussion.
All right.
He worked on this with Jim Martin. I assume they worked with Association of Town.
I think they also worked with County Solicitor.
County Solicitor, yeah. I was anxious to see it. I'm glad you have it. I'm anxious to see if consider moving forward on trying to fill the position if the budget still allows that. This work's not currently getting done effectively, and we need to deal with that.
No question about it, and that's why the board has, we've pulled on that board trying to move the ball on this. And in light of the successful approval by the voters in the district for the sewer district, I think that there's going to be additional work as we move in the next couple of years as our town grows. And, I think it's something that if we get an individual on board now, we'll be ahead of the curve. So,
you looking for some direction to post or advertise?
If the board would like to do that, I'm happy to give the church posted and we can start interviews.
Yeah, I'd like to start seeing applicants. So, desire be to instruct you to move forward. Do you need a resolution for that?
Yes, because I would like it to include. Do you want to include the salary in there? I think it's important. I think what salary means. Now remember, this would be, we were discussing it as a part of the position. Up to 20 hours, no benefit.
Did Jeffrey's and Jim's work hold at all on salary range?
We did not come up with a recommendation that's primarily due to the fact that we're looking at part-time perspective versus full-time. Do you have a number
you were discussing with Jeffrey?
I thought in the range of 23 to 25, would probably a good range. But you could do a wider range on that so that you had leeway. And I just remember that we're paying our dog control officer effectively over $720,000 a year part-time.
Should be a part-time exempt position then?
Because it's part-time, it would be exempt.
Well, I present a motion for consideration directing the supervisor to job posting in a few different areas. We'll talk about those also, but for the position of part-time code enforcement officer, part-time position, salary range of $23 to $25 per hour. And I think that we want to get it up our webpage, out on our Facebook postings, and then in the local town identified newspaper.
So just to be clear, that's $23 to $25 an hour, not $23 to $25 million.
Correct. If I didn't say $23 to $25 per hour, but
okay. You did say that. I was just making sure.
I'd second that motion.
Any discussion on that? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
So we'll get that taken care of. Man, you'll post that in the usual spots.
Mm-hmm.
Next item on the agenda is Recreation Department requests. At the last board meeting, we tabled action on purchasing t-shirts for flag football as a result of the possibility that there might be a vendor that was significantly less than the prices that we had from three quotes that were provided to board members. After reviewing the fourth vendor, we found, well, the company is Northland Graphics was willing to do t-shirts at an amount of $7 each, which, as I indicated, was substantially lower than three other quotes. And so I would need a bolt. The board's already been pulled on this, so I need to memorialize the action, and I would entertain a resolution to authorize the purchase of payments of an amount not to exceed $700 to Northland Graphics.
So moved.
Second.
And this account would be from A73 to 10.4. Town has already received the bill in the amount of $631.50, but I thought we should bump it a little bit only because I'm sure we'll have to order additional ones as people hit sign up late. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. But I could just quickly also thank Councilman Noonan. I think we were able to also do this because he was able to pick them up on his way to or from work. So, substantial cost savings. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Thank you, sir.
The next item I have for REC is a request to purchase a striping machine. David Jones has provided the board, hopefully the board has a copy of three quotes. One is from Titan Power, Minor 550 Athletic Field Marker Line, which can be purchased at Sherwin-Williams in Glens Falls or Saratoga, which costs $1,200. The second quote is from New Stripe, Conaliner 2 Athletic Field Marker Line Striper, which is $1,492.65. And the third quote is from Graco Field Laser, S90 battery powered tie, that wasn't finished. His recommendation for an amount of $1,273.30. His recommendation is to go with the Line Striper, New Stripe, Conaliner, two Athletic Field Marking, Line Striper, and that is in the amount of $1,492.65, which is the highest.
I'm just curious as to what makes that one the one that you prefer and why, being that it's the more expensive one by almost $300.
If you look at the attack, that's significantly different machine. I don't know if the justification of half a larger machine, but
right.
The specs on the machine as well as the list of paper.
I mean, I know the first one says for latex products only. Maybe that changes what you know we put down. The new strip kind of layer.
Well, I think the engines are different. One's a 37.7 cc, the other one is 4.5 horsepower super industrial gas engine with it. I do know it's American made. It's a little bit steel construction.
I trust his knowledge. I was just curious. I didn't see much of a breakdown as to why one was better than the other.
I think the amount of marker that it holds is larger.
That's multiple marker.
And one is battery powered, the other one is gasoline. The Greco field laser is battery powered, which is $220
less. Yeah, I actually want to see us relying on that away from the.
So I think all those.
I think the third one out of the consideration because of the battery and the quality of the two machines is completely different. And for the small difference in price, I'd personally rather see us invest in something that's going to last. And I'd be supportive of that.
Okay. Yes, I support that.
So that's the motion to that effect?
Motion to approve as recommended. Any discussion? Further discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the last item I have for Rick is Dave has, I think he's continuing to work with the efforts of our former maintenance supervisor down there. Has provided the board with information to remove 28 trees, mostly pine, from around the basketball and volleyball courts. And if you take a look at those courts, you will realize why he would like to remove those trees with pine trees and all that. I did have a conversation with Councilmember Hogan, who thought maybe we didn't need to remove all 28 trees. My suggestion would be for the rec committee to meet with Dave, look at the trees that he's proposing that to be removed, mm-hmm. and come back to the board with a recommendation. And while we have not budgeted money for that, we do have money available to spend for that purpose in the rec budget.
Okay. Yes. So I'm good with getting together with him and going back over it. We've discussed this. I discussed this with him approximately 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I didn't identify 28 trees, but I'd like to see what he's thinking. My other thought to this was the highway department. Don't you have equipment or ability to take down trees, Paul?
We take down flower trees, yes.
Okay. Well, isn't the wreck part of our own trees?
Well, yeah. Part of our own trees. First, I heard of this.
Okay.
So,
is that something we can, you know, we could talk to you about and maybe
have a
meeting in the minds?
We're still in a busy part of our season right now. So.
I realize that. I just.
But it's something that we can look at. I want you to decide what we go from there.
They're, you know, trying to clean up around the basketball courts in particular. There's two, you know, the two basketball courts that are kind of back up to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then the volleyball court that's over on that side, towards the east.
And we've taken some down from the course.
Okay, great. Maybe we can do something more here and reduce this cost.
We still are under contract, though, with the tree person.
Who's that?
Stan.
Okay. And
that's good until November.
What's the contract with them?
We have set prices for certain size trees.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't aware of it. Apparently, to this, he didn't respond.
Yeah, I don't think Dave was aware of the contract either when he put this together. I didn't realize he was going to be doing this, but I think.
Yeah, some communication will be key in this.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if the cemetery committee doesn't reach out.
That would be me as well.
Cemeteries are a little more tricky.
Yeah. We'll talk about
that. You can't just drop a tree.
No, we're not looking to drop a tree, but, you know.
All right. Right. So we will table that.
Thank you.
For now. Next item I have are water department requests. This is looking for authority from the board to send Alan and Kristen to Morrisville for training for water school for their Class B license. He has a quote from W20. Is it W20? Not H2O. It's the name of the company. Yeah, W2O operator training. In Cortland, the vendor is offering $550 each for training. The next is SUNY Morrisville State College at an amount of $325 per individual. And the third is West New York Water School at an amount of $375 per individual. Jesse is recommending that we authorize his personnel to go to St. Morrisville on October 16th and 17th in an amount of $325 per individual for a total of $650. This would be paid from account 8310.4, which has a balance of $302,292 as of August 31st.
So moved.
Second. Questions?
Discussion.
So, 325 to Summit, is this, are they spending overnight? Are they traveling to and from? Are they staying the night out there?
That's a different voucher altogether that you get.
Okay, I don't see it here.
You don't have one?
Well,
I should say hotel stay.
Okay.
I can run through that too separately if you want, Dan.
That would be my question.
We can go for it.
You want them all together?
No. I don't have that.
Okay. We actually have a copy here. But
any other discussion on the actual costs?
No.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Have your back.
Thank you. And that is followed up with a request for the same two individuals for hotel stay while attending the Class D water school training at Morrisville. The first option is the Lake Kinkland House at a rate of $140 per night in Casanova, the Colgate Inn at a rate of $170 per night in Hamilton, and the Brewster Inn, which must be pretty fancy, a total of $437.60 in Casanova. Jesse is recommending the Linkland House at a rate of $140 per person. It would come from the same account, 8310.4.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
And I guess we probably should add as part of that that all customary expenses. You're not sure you're taking the company truck, or are they taking their own personal vehicle?
Prefer not to, they said.
Prefer not to, so motion should probably include they'd be reimbursed for customary expenses.
Will they be traveling together out here or taking separate vehicles? Will they be traveling together or taking a separate vehicle?
Taking separate vehicles.
Yeah. Why that?
It's just an emergency and one of them has to come home.
So there's a motion on the table. I don't know if you want to amend it for reimbursement.
Well, if we amend it.
Yep.
So moved.
Seconded.
Any discussion? No call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. The last item for water department request is request for materials needed to complete three taps on Gander Road for Sean McKenna. This is to install a 1.5-inch line, which customarily we usually do a 1-inch line. He has three quotes, one from Foreign Main Water Fleet for $1561.05, one from EJP for $1547.19, and a third from Ferguson Waterworks in the amount of $1923.30 in Clifton Park. Jesse recommended that the board go with the EJP for $1547.19, which would come from account 8310.4. Which continues to have the same balance, only drawn down from the previous report. So
second. Discussion. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is item 8, which is the Mike Nolan 5K race. We have received a request from Jody Sheldon from South and Falls Central School District, hoping for town board approval to hold that race and run on town highways on Sunday, November 4th of 2018. just like last year, the time, they will begin at 9 a.m., between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., and she has included the group, which is also the same as last year, which would include the following roads: Tanglewood, Pine Valley, Corian, Nolan, Columbine, Daffodil, Dogwood, Iris, and back to Tanglewood.
Need a motion?
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda, item 9, is a request from the assessor looking for permission to attend the New York State Assessor's Annual Conference, which will be held at the DoubleTree Hilton in Binghamton, September 30th through October 3rd. And she's asking that any expenses incurred not reimbursed by the state be a proper time charge. And the conference attendance will be used to fulfill her New York State mandated credit. I did have a few questions, which I received answers to most of. The first question I had was, I needed to know the amount of the request. She said it would not exceed $1,000. I asked for the amount that was budgeted for 2018. It was $1,200. And I also asked for a breakdown of actual or anticipated expenses, and she indicated that the registration fee is $175, lodging and meals would be $357, and the mileage would be approximately $200. I asked for a current balance in the account, $1,355.4, and that amount is $12,556.19. I also asked how much is anticipated that New York State would have reimbursed us for, and she said $800. However, we do not have a record that we did receive a reimbursement last year. So, with that, I'll turn over the board to discuss.
Just real quick, without having any paperwork submitted, I looked at this conference, and the numbers that you were giving were the max numbers that I was able to find. I looked it up, and I was coming up with a 204 a night that includes for three, that's each night, and that includes meals. So that would be 204 for three nights, that alone is 612. If you add everything up, it comes up to about $990-something. So that's where I see that not to exceed $1,000 would come in. But I just feel that for lodging and meals for $357 is not correct. As I printed out the application, I was hoping that we would get some other answers before tonight, but we don't have it. But I'm pretty confident with the numbers that I came up with. For this, I don't know where you came up with $357 for three nights of annual meals at a double tree.
I'm not sure when she has to commit to it. I don't have. I have any paperwork that indicates when the deadline is to apply or to RSVP.
This is something that covers it's like a state mandated training or
assessors do have to receive an annual training.
Okay, and she says that this is not to exceed $1,000, and the
correct
information that Cal came up with put it at 900 something, and our number is 732 at this point.
He was planning on going for all 3 days, right? Yeah, September 30th or October 30th. Carla pulled up the application and reading it right here. This is all rates are based on 3 nights stay per person per day. Andy Bluefield, gratuity administrative fee for that date. So that's 204 hours per day. So I don't know where she's getting the 357. I mean, obviously, it still matches the other end, but you've got to exceed $1,000.
Correct.
You know, it's about a 300 something miles round trip. But it might be, I put an email on board at that point.
How about a motion to approve the request? We don't have to worry not to exceed $1,000, and I just would rather, instead of saying any expenses occurred, any approved town approved expenses to be reimbursed. So regardless of how she came up with the numbers or what that sheet said, if we set a maximum on it,
right,
we can work the details out. I gotta guess she's probably gonna have to respond pretty quick if this is happening in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
I'll second that motion.
Clean it up a little bit. Present a motion authorizing Peggy Jenkins to attend the New York State Assessor's Annual Conference to be held at Level 3 Tilton in Binghamton, September 30th, October 3rd. Total expense not to exceed $1,000, and any expenses incurred not reimbursed by the state to be reimbursed as long as they align with our current policy.
Seconded.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is privilege of the floor from any member of the public would like to address the board.
Good evening. Just a few things, and I'll try to be under my 3-minute talk. I will try. Carr Associates, if I'm not mistaken, they were the ones that did our last revalve, and it's from my board. Essity was a major problem in the board, and we had to reduce their assessment. That was a major financial. So I really don't think, as a citizen, that you should rehire those folks. And also, maybe going along that is, when did Mrs. Jenkins know retire? Is this her last year, or is it 2019? And if she's going to retire at the end of this year, does she need the credit hours for 2019 if she's leaving in 2018? So we necessarily need this, her go. I know she probably wants whether this is a social event. The next thing, real quick, did those two things, and oh, policy. No offense to the two employees for the water department, but we've had many times when we paid for education for employees for the town, and then they leave within a certain amount of time, and they work for somebody else, and we train them with our funds. I would like to see a policy that we have a time limit. If they stay employed within a certain amount of months, that they don't have to reimburse the town, but we've been burnt many, many times. By that, as well as also with the town court office, with them training there, and they leave after we train them. So if there's any costs involved, and maybe a 24-month or 36-month number, if they stay employed, that they don't have to reimburse us. But I think that should be part of the policy, maybe when you do the organizational minutes next year, Todd, that maybe that could be started with a good program. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? With that, we'll move on to supervisors' items. We have an individual in the member of the public, Dave Kramer, who met with me, I believe it was this afternoon, maybe it was this morning, it's been a long day. And he has requested, he's a pilot of a hot air balloon, and has requested approval from the board to, from time to time, take off from rural rec. He has insurance and applicable liability. At the time of liftoffs are typically predicated on obviously temperature of the day, which is usually the coolest early
morning, so I think in most instances they'd probably be off the ground shortly after daylight, probably well before 7. And he's looking for authority for the town board to do that from time to time.
How many do you do? Like that to a certain time?
I think it's a great idea, but I don't know unless you went in off the soccer fields, you could get in on those soccer fields that are right there, because then that you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't have to go down around the pig farm. You'd go in that spot right there. But we do have gates across until opening time, right? 8 o'clock. The kids there.
So well, actually, we have employees that have been starting at 6 down there.
Okay. And I think it's a fantastic idea, actually. I think
what?
That
is right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's people punching at 6 a.m.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
I just learned.
I think it's, I'm okay with it. I think it's great. I just, as long as whatever people were trying to file in town hall and.
Yeah, and he did indicate that the fields weren't used for whatever reason. Most likely, probably wouldn't be at that hour. We would not utilize.
I can picture this being pretty much at dawn or at dusk. Yeah, that's about the time. But my question is, and I think about the insurance issues and knowing that bouncy houses aren't allowed down there. What would our insurance company, how would they feel about this? I'm assuming it would be fine. But I think some clarification there might be in order.
We can reach out to them, but I anticipate that our policy would be equally as applicable for him as it would be to any other user of the park. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. I was going to nominate.
So we can find out.
Yeah, okay. Good. I mean, I'm thrilled about the idea. I'm going to say that he's allowed to. Others are going to want to. There's other people in this locally that probably would enjoy that benefit.
I see a fundraising opportunity.
I understand and I agree.
We will approve use of the park for that purpose, subject to green light from our insurance carrier. Is that?
I'm good with that.
So we don't have any more time for it.
No.
Okay. There's your answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next item on the supervisor's items I have is I received great news 2 days ago from the Hudson River Valley Greenway, and we will in fact receive funding for the Monroe Townwide Trails Concept Plan that the LA Group put together for our application that they put together for us. And this program will link the Monroe Townwide Trail System with Empire State Trail, the Hudson River on both the Route 9 Bridge and the Fenimore Bridge, connecting to the local Peter Canal Trail, the Champlain Canalway Trail, and the Empire State Trail. And we'll go to the southern portion of the town, mainly Monroe State Park. They, however, would not tell me the amount that we're going to be awarded. That's going to be announced tomorrow morning with a joint meeting between the Greenway and Hudson River Valley National Heritage Area, which is going to take place tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., so I should know shortly after that. So, a little bit of good news.
That's great.
That's great. And the next item I have under supervisor's items is in relation to what kind of was brought up this evening. Pre-implant physical, no shows. We get billed when we schedule pre-implant physical and the prospective employee does not show up. And it's happened twice so far this year. And I think we should have a policy in place that spells out that if a prospective employee is hired by the town and has failed to
properly notify the evaluator or the town that they should be liable to their employment to pay for that cost that the town is incurring, which is $25 each time. And on board.
It's a no-show. It's not a call and cancellation. It's a straight-up no-show.
Which is frustrating because we go and we schedule a meeting for the respective employee.
And then we have to pay for another one next time. I am fine with asking for some way for us to
remember.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Do we know more about this situation? Are these people we end up hiring again? Are they, we reschedule, we hire them? Or are they like,
they reschedule?
No, we end up hiring. I think in the instance where we follow through and hire them, they should incur the cost. Obviously, if they're not going to be an employee, they're talented.
I have no idea. That's a good question. And I wrote, can Tom do this? So I'll look into that for you.
If we hire them and they become an employee, I mean, we can have a conversation. Well, whether or not, can we tell them upfront that, you know, that we're going to stay?
The requirement, if you're hired and you don't show up, you have to pay the fee.
Or some sort of first paycheck type thing.
Is that common occurrence? I didn't think so. It's happened. I'm aware of it happening once before, a couple of years ago. But the fact that it happened recently twice kind of got my attention. So.
Right.
We can look into it.
These appointments are scheduled. They're notified, and it's also a matter of they've been made aware.
Right,
and
they forgot to go.
Yeah, no, I think they should be allowed.
So they think it's a drug test?
No cap.
Fair.
Are the people we want to actually keep hired? And they're not going to show up for work
anymore. All right, we'll table that for council's review. Next item I have is from regarding cable TV. Charter Communications has notified our town, to inform you about programming changes that will affect Charter Communications subscribers in New York, effective on or after October 1st, 2018. Newsmax TV HD will launch on Spectrum Silver Digit Tier 1 Channel 222. And another communication is that from Charter, they're making changes to their channel lineup for customers in New York again, and the English Premier League Soccer Channel discontinued Spectrum's right to carry its channels located on STP Tier 2 Spectrum Gold Standard TV channels 420 through 424, effective on or after August 24, 2018. The channel will no longer be available. And the last item I have is under supervisors' items is we received notification from DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, that our transfer station has once again been registered as a solid waste management facility with new registration number. That registration is for the period of September 6, 2018, and expires September 5, 2023. So, kudos to Ted for helping fill out some of that information. And I have nothing else for any reports?
No, but I was noticing Jesse's reports. The Department of Health inspected the system here this past month and got 100% approval from Department of Health. Is that
approval from the Department of Health for?
Well, did they inspect your different entities here in the town? I thought I read something on your reports here about having a Department of Health.
Department of Health came and took one of our employees, station to station, because he's been here a year, and gave him a certificate of approval that he is now a Class B operator. And upon going around to all these stations, the Department of Health also did an inspection while they were here, and everything was absolutely in order. I left this sheet for it.
And that was good. Thank you.
Yes. If you'd like a copy of that sheet, I'd be more than happy to.
No, I just, in fact, I know
apply that to the board if you're interested in seeing it.
Thank you.
I do have one other item. I want to give a public thank you to Sheriff Zerlo, who, at my request for the opener football game at the high school, graciously had a member of his road patrol there to enforce the no parking signs on Tanglewood Drive, which goes a long way in providing for public safety to allow egress through that area. And I think specifically it was Deputy Mark Stewart that was on the job that evening. He did stop in when I was in a meeting and didn't have a chance to thank him personally, but wanted to do so on the record. Hopefully we're beginning to mitigate the issue of no parking on Tanglewood. I do know that it has already resulted in greater headaches for those that live on the side streets, and I have received several requests for no parking signs on those streets, or roads, I should say. So I was hoping maybe you could help us with that.
Well, that's something we have to do a referendum on, right?
So we'll have to provide you with a list of roads. Can you provide council with a list of roads? Can you review to see if we have a minimum charge for parking violations? I would like them to be posted on the sign.
Sure.
I'm sorry. That's all I have.
Just an update on the ongoing sexual harassment thing that your state mandating, that the 19th is the date they think they're going to have their final decision out. But that just tightens up the window. We may have to have a policy in place, I believe, by October 19th. But the last date I've seen that I think will hold is that we'll have to have employee training for this January 1. So
completed or
in place. And employees will have to be trained in 30 days of hire. So we'll have to get it completed quickly also. The update is on the next meeting, I should have it, because the 19th is the date to implement their final rules.
Okay.
So for the next board meeting, hopefully we'll have a final number, but we're just getting off the close to dates that we'll have to start with. So we won't be alone.
Is there anything you want council to review on that? Board.
No, I think they're reviewing it themselves because it's all employees, it's kind of public and private.
Yeah.
I've had a conversation with council.
Okay. Anything else for open discussion?
I do.
Yes, sir.
I brought up the one I had to do in an email today about Mr. Davis.
Yes. I believe my office corresponded with council on the contract.
Yes, we were under the impression he was going to provide us with a contract.
Yeah, he says he doesn't have
one.
I don't know. The minutes say that he indicated he didn't have a contract.
He didn't have a contract. And there was a discussion about having a hold harmless in place, which is fine. As long as we have a hold harmless and in place for him to sign, I see no issue why he couldn't come and do that. I mean, he's doing this for free, but that's
correct.
So I don't see any issue legally with it. If that came to my attention this afternoon.
You're right.
I can put together the whole market.
I want to work with Carla on that just to get whatever. And you're going to respond to Mr.
Yes.
Okay, great. With that, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss CSCA contract negotiations and the performance of an unnamed town employee.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Thanks, everyone. Is that the end?
Ready?
All right, I'll entertain a motion to come out of executive session and indicate that no action was taken.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And motion to close tonight's meeting.
So moved. So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuznir?
Yes.
Thank you.